A lot of attention has been paid in recent years to the management of wolves in upper Midwestern states like Wisconsin and Michigan. Their status has swung back and forth between being a protected species and one that can be hunted.
One leading wolf scientist in Wisconsin says he's worried that science is being ignored as funding for wolf research is reduced. Dr. Adrian Trevis is a professor of environmental studies at UW-Madison. His most recent work explores wolf management techniques in Michigan.
And he says his disturbing conclusion is that both livestock and wolves are dying unnecessarily. He explains to Lake Effect Susan Bentz the impetus behind his study.
A tribe in Michigan called the Little River Band of Ottawa Indians has been challenging the state of Michigan on its science for several years and on many topics. And one of the topics they were challenging Michigan state on was the claim of the state government that killing wolves helps prevent livestock losses. And they contracted my lab to answer that question. And when I say contracted, we're talking shoestring. They basically asked me to volunteer my time and were able to pay an undergrad technician a little bit.
Why did you feel it important to take that on?
Oh, this is a long-term theme in my research that we need to evaluate policy interventions and management interventions as if they're experiments because we don't know they're going to work or not work. We need to evaluate them scientifically, especially when the actors are killing wildlife because wildlife is a public trust asset that belongs to everybody. And there's ethical issues associated with killing wildlife and with protecting livestock and with helping the family farmers in our region who deserve effective management interventions, not ones that are going to do nothing. Okay, so this is a long-term research interest in my lab that we evaluate policy and management interventions as experiments. And what I was surprised at, basically zero evaluation by the state government of its own program. In fact, they weren't even collecting data well enough for a good evaluation. So we had to do a less than good one based on what they had collected in the field.
So you had state and federal data to look at, is that correct?
Yep.
Although
that's right.
Limited. We're talking about the Upper Peninsula, but of course Wisconsin is looking, you know, it's a constant source of conflict and conversation as to how wolves should be managed.
Yeah, and there's a direct connection to Wisconsin because both Michigan and Wisconsin contract with the federal agency called USDA Wildlife Services. Both states contract with the feds to conduct these operations at a farm level. Namely, the operations are to live trap and euthanize wolves after a verified livestock loss, or to visit the site and verify and do nothing. And that's what provided the grist for our mill, the meat of our analysis, is that in many cases, no wolves were killed, either because the state lacked authority at the time, like from 1998 to early 2003, they lacked the authority to kill wolves, so they just offered technical support to farmers. And then intermittently from 2003 to 2014, the authority to kill wolves was removed. That's sort of a long story, but just picture this sort of roller coaster of policy, on again, off again, allowed to kill wolves, not allowed to kill wolves. That's what provided for us what we call a quasi-experiment or a silver standard experiment. Every time policy changed, conditions on the ground changed, allowing us to see what was the effect of lethal control or not having lethal control. And the same applies to Wisconsin. The same roller coaster occurred. The same methods are used by the same federal agency. So it's a reasonable conclusion to draw that what we found for Michigan is exactly the same as in Wisconsin.
So let's talk about your findings.
All right. First thing we found is that we cannot detect any effect of killing wolves. No matter how many wolves were killed at a site, there's no reduction in future livestock losses that's statistically significant. We did find a statistically insignificant effect for a handful of farmers. Some of them benefited from killing wolves. But here's the kicker. That benefit was completely offset by higher losses for the neighbors in neighboring townships, those people who are raising livestock on different properties around the property where wolves were killed. So the very small benefit by a minority of farmers from lethal control was offset. So there's no net benefit because the neighbors lost more livestock than they normally would have.
Part of the thrust of your report, as I understand it, is that you analyzed the data at three spatial scales.
Right.
And so explain that and tell me why that's important.
Yeah. So it's important to look beyond the property where the lethal control occurred or beyond the wolf pack that was targeted, because a lot of research is showing what we call spillover effect, namely that you don't kill the entire wolf pack. There are survivors, and those survivors can scatter. And even if you do kill the entire wolf pack, newcomers move in, loners, transients, a new pair of wolves. And what we're finding is that those survivors that scatter, or the newcomers, are actually more likely to attack livestock, or they seem to be more likely to attack livestock than the original residents had been. So any study that fails to look beyond the actual site of lethal control is going to miss the spillover effect. And what we're proposing is that we really need the gold standard experiment on any kind of method, but especially on lethal methods, because of those ethical implications I referred to a few minutes ago and the importance of protecting the public asset of, in this case, wolves. So we really need the gold standard experiment, which means random assignment. In the United Kingdom, Britain did it with badgers to control bovine tuberculosis. They did that gold standard experiment. Why can't we in the U.S. do it? It's never been done before in the U.S., and we're supposedly one of the most scientifically advanced and wealthy countries in the world. So I say we should do it. That's what the farmers deserve. That's what the livestock deserve. That's what the predators deserve. And that's what the public trust deserves and requires.
If that were to be achieved, what would the practical steps be that would have to be incorporated?
The practical steps are that a flawless design has to be done ahead of time, and there's a lot of scientific steps there. Then the government has to agree to it, basically. They have to step back from their current policies and allow a random assignment. That means some livestock herds get the treatment and others get the placebo control. There's a lot of myths out there that farmers won't accept the placebo control. We know for a fact that's false. Also, a lot of people have the misconception that you can't do experiments like that in working livestock farms, in wild ecosystems, because they're so complicated. That also is not the case. We and others have proven you can do these gold standard experiments under realistic situations and determine if a particular method is effective. So we would need that in hand, plus a whole bunch of livestock owners who are willing to participate. And one way we sweeten the deal there is to reverse the treatment, which means that if any livestock owner begins as the placebo control, midway through the study, they get to flip, they get to reverse and explore how the treatment works on their farms. But meanwhile, the research team is doing all the measurements and the interpretation, and they're doing them what's called blind. So we don't know ahead of time who's getting the treatment and who's the placebo control. So the measurements are unbiased. And that's why we need independent scientists to do this, not a federal agency that benefits from getting contracts to kill wildlife, and not the farmers themselves who have a sort of unintentional self-interest in certain kinds of outcomes. So we need independent third-party verification, and that can only come from the academic scientific community.
There were experiments that went on in the Upper Peninsula that used non-lethal methods. Would that factor into the kind of approach that you advocate?
Definitely. So what Tom Gehring and his team did was they proved you could do gold standard experiments in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. There's no reason why you couldn't. Farmers agreed to it. It was legal. The system was not too complex to do such experiments. And his team demonstrated it. They proved that livestock guarding dogs could be effective in protecting livestock. And second, in the second experiment, they proved that flaggery, which is this visual deterrent flagging device, could be effective in protecting livestock. So they set a model, and they did it years ago, and yet we have not seen the state and federal agencies embracing these techniques and rolling them out to the farmers of the UP. So I would suggest they're not doing a service to our hardworking livestock-owning families.
What do you see happening at the state level?
What we see happening at the Wisconsin state level is a little worrisome because it undermines the rule of law. So the Wisconsin Assembly and the Wisconsin Senate are considering companion bills that would prevent state law enforcement from enforcing federal protections for wolves. This is a really bald-faced move to try to force the U.S. Congress to repeal federal protections for wolves. Regardless of how you feel about wolves, I would argue we don't want to undermine law and order, by encouraging poaching, by encouraging illegal hunting or illegal land use activities. And that's what these bills will do, because they bar law enforcement from acting according to state law against illegal killing and poaching and illegal hunting activities. State law prevents those. It's not the Fed. And on top of it, our U.S. Constitution says that the federal government is supreme over state government. And no one's suggesting that the U.S. Constitution's wrong about that. So the state legislature seems to be fighting against a couple hundred years of our history. All right, so you fast forward to our study, and what we're saying is any kind of wolf killing may be causing these spillover effects. If you poach a wolf, the surviving wolves may turn to your neighbor's livestock. So I would suggest that any kind of reduction in law enforcement, any kind of encouragement to poaching, is going to harm our small family livestock owners around the state.
You mentioned in the piece or in your summary of it that at this point, livestock and wolves both are dying for no apparent purpose.
Right.
That's strong.
It's strong. It's disappointing. I mean, and the public should be asking itself, when the government steps in and does something, it should only do something effective, something that's been proven effective, not something that some legislature believes will work, not something that some livestock owner demands, but something that scientific evidence supports will be effective. What's so disappointing is how many years the state and federal agencies intervened without any clue as to whether it would work and without doing the proper measurement to evaluate while they were doing it, whether it was working. That's the most upsetting part of the story for me.
Adrian Treves studies wolves in his work as a professor of environmental studies at UW-Madison. He spoke with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz, and you can find a link to his paper, which was published this week in the peer-reviewed Journal of the Public Library of Science, at WUWM.com.